Micah 3, verse 1 to 12. Then I said, "Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice, you who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and eat flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin, and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time he will hide his face from them, because of the evil they have done. This is what the Lord says, as for the prophets who lead my people astray, if one feeds them, they proclaim peace, if he does not, they prepare to wage war against him. Therefore, night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces, because there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Hear this, you leaders of the house of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, who despise justice, and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed, and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe."
Please join me in prayer. O God, we give thanks to you. You have been good to us. For while we were still dead in our sins and trespasses, you redeemed us and gave us new life in Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us understand the meaning of your salvation. Help us recognize that we've been saved at a price, the very life of your one and only Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Lord, with understanding and with conviction, help us respond to this wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation. May we all walk with you every day in a manner worthy of your calling in Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us to be salt and light on your behalf in this world, so that we can always shine for you. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can impact our community, our society. O Lord, we lift up this church to you. This is your beloved bride, cleansed and purified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. O Lord, may your beauty, may your radiance shine through this church. And when you are lifted up, may many more come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And so may this be a place where we can worship, where we can serve, where we can proclaim the good news to all the lost. O Lord, you have said, freely you have received, freely give. And so help us to respond to your love accordingly. Lord, at this moment, we pray for our country, especially in this week of remembrance. We thank you for this beautiful, this wonderful country of Canada. We thank you for the government. We thank you for the leaders. And especially we thank you for the soldiers who died for us, so that we could have peace. And we thank you for those who are in Afghanistan and in other places who are keeping the peace for us. O Lord, we are so grateful to you for them. Lord, we just pray that you help us to pray for our leaders, to pray for those who are in government, so that they know how to lead this country, how to govern the country in accordance with your teaching in the Bible. Lord, we also pray for those of us who may be in need. May you hear our prayers. May you hear our cries as we cry out to you. We pray that we can meet you, and we will be satisfied because you reach out to us. Oh Lord, we pray for Pastor Andy as he is serving you in another church at this moment. We pray that you will bless him and your people over there. May they have a wonderful worship together as well. Thank you, O God, and may you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I thank God for another opportunity to share the Word of God with you. Just now, the worship team led us to sing Mighty to Save. It sings about Jesus Christ. It sings about His salvation on the cross. Now, why am I mentioning this? Well, because this song excuse me, brings back a lot of good memory for me. I first came to know this song just this past April, when my daughter Felicia and I went to Hong Kong to visit Grandma. One Sunday, we went to this English church on the penthouse of one of the tallest buildings in Hong Kong. The penthouse could oversee the entire Victoria Harbour of Hong Kong. Just imagine that. If you are sitting there worshiping the Lord, you may get distracted very easily. But praise the Lord, on that day we were able to worship God with the congregation over there. The Australian pastor there led the worship. He played the guitar, and he led the entire congregation to sing this Mighty to Save. And so when I heard the tune, when I heard the melody, when I saw the words, it came back to me. Indeed, we need to praise the Lord. We want to thank God for this wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, anyway, back to the message. 2 weeks ago, a piece of local news really cheered up everybody in town, especially in the midst of so much bad news lately. We rejoiced with the people in the story, especially the man and his family. Now, what was the news? The news... I have to flick it. I forgot to flick it. What should I do? Just leave it.
Press computer.
Okay. All right, there you go. See, normally the AV guys would look after me, but today I have to take care of this. But anyway, so what was the news? The news was about Ivan Henry. He had received a review of his case, and he was declared, free. He was declared without guilt and set free. 27 years ago, he was wrongly accused of committing a series of murders. And he was, you know, branded a serial killer. And he was sentenced to prison for 27 years. Now, he had to give thanks to his two daughters, because his two daughters never abandoned him. They worked very hard to make sure that this wrongful case should be dismissed. And so they worked very hard to clear their father's name. And they went to different departments, they went to different places to request for a review of their father's case. And thank goodness, God is good. God is just and righteous. And their father did receive a review of his case, and the Department of Justice withdrew the accusation and removed the indictment. And no record of any crime was kept, and he was set free. And now he is a free man, being able to enjoy a wonderful family time with his daughters and his grandchildren. Now, the family was able to secure or to request for a review because there was a group of volunteers in the legal society who volunteered their time to work tirelessly on their behalf. These people were really champions of the underdog. They championed justice, and they deserve our respect. Now, Prophet Micah also deserves our respect. Last Sunday, we were studying how he championed justice for the ordinary people, for the common folks in the nations of Israel and Judah. He unreservedly, he relentlessly accused and rebuked those greedy, wealthy landlords for their illegal behavior, for their oppression against the poor. These legal, these wealthy landlords, they occupied, they took over properties of common people illegally. And so, you know, Micah worked on behalf of these poor people and rebuked these oppressors. And he declared God's judgment on them. Now, this morning, we continue to study the mission of the prophet Micah. In chapters 3 to 5, Micah turned his attention to another two groups of people. They were the rulers and religious leaders of the day. And this morning, we will focus on chapter 3. And in other Sundays, we will study chapters 4 and 5, maybe under Pastor Andy. Now here, I just want to mention to you again, the book of Micah is divided into three main sections. Each section is a cycle. Last Sunday, we already studied the first cycle. Every cycle talks about God's rebuke against the leaders, against you know, people who were wicked, who committed crimes against common people. And it also includes God's judgment. But at the end of the cycle, God also pronounced his salvation. Now, in every cycle, Micah would begin with these words: "Hear," or "Listen, all you people," in order to draw the attention of his audience. And here, at the beginning of the second cycle in chapter 3, Micah did the same thing in chapter 3, verse 1. Please Turn to that chapter again. Micah says, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. Now, here only Jacob and Israel are mentioned, and yet this should include the nation of Judah. In other words, all the 12 tribes of Israel. Let us listen to Micah carefully so that we can get reminded, lest we should commit the same crime, we should, make the same mistake, offending God, mistreating others. If we really did something wrong, may the Spirit of God help us to repent of our sin, to confess our sin, so that we can be forgiven by God, so that we can be cleansed and start our walk with Christ anew, so that we can have a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, serving God, serving our community, upholding justice in the sight of God. And so, let us begin this study of chapter 3. What had the leaders done in Micah's day to the extent that he would rebuke them? He would scold them so severely. Well, first of all, let us listen to this rebuke, all right? The rulers here refers to those who should uphold the law, those who keep law and order. At the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1, or at the second half of chapter 3, verse 1, the Almighty said, should you not know justice? This is a rhetorical question. This rhetorical question does not require any answer. The meaning is, the rulers, the leaders, should know justice. However, they did not uphold justice. However, they did things against justice. They did not keep law and order. They abused their authority. They did not do any good. Instead, they did everything wicked and evil. And so, in verse 2 and 3, Micah used this violent, cruel picture to describe their sin, to describe their crime. Micah said, you who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot. As you read these two verses, you can tell it's indeed a violent and a gruesome picture. This seemed to describe the leaders as cannibals. They ate people up, they chewed people up. Instead of spilling them out, worse still, they even swallowed them. This was how the leaders behaved themselves against the common folks in their midst. Well, what really had they done? Let us really look at the detail of their crime. How come the prophet would use these horrific words use a very severe rebuke against them? Well, let us go back to chapter 2. In chapter 2, we were looking at how the wealthy landlords got the support of the false prophets, right? They openly, they daringly took over people's properties illegally. And now when that happened, we could imagine that these common folks, these ordinary citizens would not accept it willingly. They would not accept it lying down. They would not just let the wealthy landlords come over and take their properties. For sure, they would go to
say, the government, they would, you know, file a complaint to the leaders or to the rulers in their midst in order to secure their properties, to protect their properties. Unfortunately, the leaders in their midst did not accept or receive their complaint. They turned a deaf ear to all these complaints. They did not really take care of the common folks. Why? Well, because these rulers were bought by the wealthy landlords. They took bribery and they collaborated together. In chapter 3, verse 11, you know, Micah clearly pointed out that they took bribery. And this is the kind of sin, this is the kind of wrong that the wealthy people did to the common people in those days. Now, let us come back to some of the things that, you know, are happening in our world today. This kind of ugly, unconscionable conduct reminds us of, you know, some of the things that happened not too long ago. In the month of May in 2008, as we recall, there was a severe earthquake, a serious earthquake in Sichuan, China. And when the earthquake happened, all the schools in the area were in session, and many school buildings collapsed at the great tremor. And when they collapsed, they crushed many students, young people to death. And in an instant, many parents in that area lost their only child, their only son, their only daughter. What a pity. How come these school buildings could not withstand the tremor, the shake of the earthquake? How come they collapsed so easily? Well, it's because the contractors, the builders, did not use good material. They did not use all the, they did not meet all the building code that was required. And these buildings are called tofu construction, meaning that they are just so weak, so easily crumble as tofu. And because of this, many, many students lost their lives for no good reason. And so somebody wrote an open letter to the government, to the local government, asking for answers, asking for explanations. The letter requested that somebody should be held responsible. Now, instead of helping these people, the government consider these people as traitors, as troublemakers. They did that in order to topple the government. And so this was the indictment against these people who wanted to search for answers. And as a result, these people were sent to jail for this kind of action. It is really unconscionable of the government to do something like that. Instead of helping the local people, instead of comforting them, instead of helping them to find answers, the government sent people to jail instead. Now, rulers or civil servants are supposed to uphold the law. They are supposed to keep law and order, to protect citizens' rights, to treat complaints and disputes without any partiality. Under the law, everybody is equal. No matter what kind of identity, no matter what kind of status, what kind of background, how rich, how poor we are, everybody should be treated equally under the law. So long as the rulers, the civil servants, those who are in a governing position, do their duties, keep law and order, everybody will be able to receive equal treatment. Nobody should get special privilege or special treatment, especially not when you are rich or when you are when you have that kind of power. Now, however, 9 months ago, a Chinese man in Vancouver was visited by two plainclothesmen in the middle of the night. The police received a complaint saying that somebody was abusing his wife. And so the two plainclothes policemen came to this man's door, and the man opened the door and thinking that he was the abuser, right? And the man, of course, tried to find out what was going on. He just woken up in his sleep. And the policeman thought that he was resisting arrest. And so, without saying much, for no reason, the two policemen beat him up. And this man's eye was badly damaged, and he was hurt all over the body. The most unfortunate thing was, as we know, the two policemen went to the wrong address. They should have gone to the back, to the basement instead. Now, however, as you know, they went to the wrong address. They thought that they got the right man. They beat up this man without reason. A few days ago, the police issued a report of the finding of the case, declaring that, oh, the two policemen did nothing wrong, and they did not have to own up to their responsibility, to, you know, their misconduct. And they did not need to be, judged. Now, this report really angered a lot of people in the city of Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland, especially the Chinese community. Everybody is wondering, how come the report would come out like this? They are questioning, is there any justice? Now, brothers and sisters, God is righteous and just. The law that he declares is also righteous and just and fair. Now, just as Psalm 19 verse 9 says, the decrees of the law of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. And also Psalm 119 and verse 137 says, you are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. You know, God orders, commands everyone who upholds the law, who keeps law and order, to be like him, to be fair and just, to uphold justice. Let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 8 to 11, to see how God expects those who are in leadership position, those who are keeping law and order, should behave themselves, should conduct themselves. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 8 to 11, God says, if cases come before your courts that are too difficult for you to judge, whether bloodshed, lawsuits, or assaults, take them to the place the Lord your God will choose. Go to the Levitical priests and to the judge who is in office at that time. Inquire of them, and they will give you the verdict. You must act according to the decisions they give you at the place the Lord will choose. Be careful to do everything they instruct you to do. Act according to whatever they teach you and the decisions they give you. Do not turn aside from what they tell you, to the right or to the left. Now, the implication of the Lord's instruction is very clear. Those who are in leadership position, those who are ruling on his behalf, should know the law, should know his commandments, and they should execute the law fairly and justly. Now, that's the case in Moses' day, and that should be the case in the 21st century. You know, the country of Canada has got this legal system built upon the teaching, the instruction of the Bible. And the legal system that we are under is, you know, has its roots, has its base in the Bible. However, when leaders, when rulers don't follow the instruction of the law, don't really obey the Lord's command to execute justice, then something would go awry. People would get hurt. And so here, in the day of Micah, the rulers did exactly that. They disobeyed the Lord. They did not hear the case, hear the complaints of these oppressed people. Instead, they collaborated with the wealthy landlords, and they did not hear the complaints, and they made these ordinary people suffer a great deal, physically, emotionally, and financially. Now, how come we can tell that these leaders, these rulers, did not hear the oppressed complaints? Well, in verse 4 of chapter 3, Micah said, "Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done." The word, the pronoun they, refers to the rulers who refused to help the weak, who refused to help the helpless, who refused to champion justice. You know, sooner or later, Micah said, there'll come a day when they find themselves in trouble, when they are in a difficult situation, then they will cry out to the Lord, but the Lord will not listen to them. The Lord will not hear them, just as they did not hear the complaints of the common people. You know, these rulers, these unconscionable rulers, reaped what they sowed. God treated them, would treat them in the same way they treated these ordinary folks. You know, God said he would punish them. They would swallow the bitter pill that they dealt out to the oppressed people. Now, brothers and sisters, once again, God is just. God is fair. You know, he wants us to be like him. He wants us to uphold justice. He wants us to treat one another fairly, especially the weak and the helpless. In Psalm chapter 82, verse 3, God says, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute." Now, when you hear this, you may say, you know, Pastor Paul, it is easier said than done. You know, it's not so easy to really keep justice, to execute justice. Now, I admit, it is not easy. You know, because of time, I will not tell you some of the cases that I have dealt with as a pastor. I have, you know, tried to resolve many complaints, many disputes among my members in my former churches. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, you might please one and displease the other. So it is not, you know, really easy to execute justice, to be fair to everybody. But, you know, there are certain pointers that we can take from the Bible. You know, God tells us we have to know his law. We have to know his commandments so that we can act accordingly. And in addition to that, you know, God also gives us one good example in the person of Solomon. You know, Solomon knows everything. And yet, you know, he asks God for wisdom so that he can live in a way pleasing and acceptable to God. You know, as we remember, you know, Solomon once resolved a dispute between two prostitutes. You know, those two women were, disputing against one another over a child. And yet, Solomon had wisdom to resolve that case. And so, besides knowing the law of the Lord, besides, you know, asking God for for wisdom, I believe that we should also live a life of holiness. You know, from the Bible, we see at least two examples that help us understand that being just, being fair goes hand in hand with holiness. You know, one is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 20. There, John the Baptist was described as a holy man, a righteous person. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, you know, the Apostle Paul is described in the same way. He is righteous and he is holy. You know, being holy means that we are set apart for the Lord. We don't belong to the world. We are not, we should not live like the world. We belong to God. We should be like God. We should live in accordance with God's law. And one more pointer that we can take from the Bible in order to live, a just life, in order to execute justice properly, and that is to fear the Lord. You know, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verse 25 and Acts 10 chapter 22, you know, fearing the Lord, being godly towards the Lord, goes hand in hand with being righteous, being just. And this tells us that, you know, this is an important area we should pay attention to too. You know, we should live justly. Now the Micah, the prophet Micah, you know, rebuked these ugly, wicked, unconscionable rulers. After he had done that, he turned towards the religious leaders of the day, this group of false prophets. Now, how do we know that these were false prophets? Well, please listen to how God called them in chapter 3, verse 7. Now, in chapter 3, verse 7, God called them seers. God called them diviners. Now, seers and diviners are not prophets. You know, in fact, God hated these so-called prophets. God hated their professions. You know, they claimed that they had prophecy, but their prophecy did not come from God. The prophecy actually came from themselves, you know, by or through the work of the evil spirit. You know, God severely, solemnly warned the Israelites against interacting with these seers, with these diviners. And so you can see that, you know, seers and diviners are really not a good way, not a respectful way of addressing the prophets. You know, they are false prophets. They are counterfeits. Now, in chapter 2, you know, we already learned that Micah rebuked this group of people because they collaborated with their wealthy landlords. For their self-interests, they did not scold, they did not rebuke the wealthy landlords for their wicked conduct, for occupying people's land and taking people's properties illegally. Instead, these false prophets defended the wealthy landlords. He or they, you know, debated with Micah in order to justify the wealthy landlords' action. Now, here in chapter 3, we continue to hear Micah's rebuke against the false prophets. In chapter 3, verse 11, Micah also points out very clearly that these false prophets were greedy for money. they also took bribe for their action. But in chapter 3, verse 5, let us hear, you know, what these false prophets have done. Now, Micah said, "As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have done something to eat, if they have something to eat, but prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them." You see, this verse clearly tells us that the false prophets would bless those who gave them money. They would say things to please them. They would keep telling them the good news. Peace, peace, peace. But actually, there was no real peace. And to those who did not give them any money, the false prophets would curse them. Would bring them good news. Would curse them because they did not give them any money. Now, these false prophets were motivated by self-interest, by personal gains. What a shame. They claimed that their message came from God, but actually it came from themselves. Their message misled people, led people astray. This is very tragic. Now, for prophets to receive a payment after serving their quote-unquote clients, there was nothing wrong with that. In ancient times, this was a respectable way of rewarding the prophets. Even in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10 verse 7, Jesus said, "For the worker deserves his wages." However, if proclaiming the message of God could really help these prophets have a substantial gain of money to really increase their self-interest, then they would be tempted very easily. They would be tempted to say only what people would like to hear in order to gain more profits. Now, this is very dangerous. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22, we read about this prophet Balaam, right? He was tempted by a large amount of money to curse the Israelites. In the end, God had to stop him by means of his donkey, by means of God's angels. And, God understood, he still understands, that money can lead people astray. You know, not only in Bible times, religious leaders behaved in that manner for their personal gains. But today, some ministers, some pastors would do the same thing. They favor those who are good to them. They would preach to them what they want to hear. However, those who are not so good to them, those who cannot give them any personal gains, they would ignore them. These ministers, these preachers do exist today. Their principle of ministry is don't rock the boat. Give people what they want. Just tell people what they like to hear. In recent church history, there are many cases in which pastors or ministers who behave like that. They failed miserably. They lost everything. They were judged by God. They ruined their reputation, and some of them even had divorces. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. He says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, there's no question that we all need money. Everybody needs money to live. However, Paul tells us very clearly that when we are greedy for money, when we have that love for money, which is a root of all evil, then we will fall into a lot of trouble. Now, brothers and sisters, now let us learn from the mistakes of the false prophets in Micah's day, and maybe even in our recent church history. Now let us not commit the same mistake as they do. Now how do we prevent ourselves from doing that? Well, we can learn the Bible. We can study the Bible diligently. Last Sunday, I shared with you the 10 commandments. The last commandment commands us not to covet anything, or even people, right, who belong to others. Today, I tell you another. Besides knowing the Word of God, let us pray to God that we can learn to be content. Now, here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, it says, maybe let us read these two verses together, all right? Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Yes, let us know the word of the Lord and let us ask him to help us to be content. Now, talking about being content, the Apostle Paul has this too in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let us read these three verses together too, all right? Let us read them. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And so, you see, when we live a life that is godly, when we know how to be content, then we will not be greedy. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, God is telling us today to act justly, to be fair to people, to really behave in a way that is in accordance with His law. That is, He is telling us not to be greedy, not to really wish for things that we don't need, wish for things that may cause us trouble in the long run. And so, in order to live our lives free of guilt, in order to have a pure heart, in order to have a good conscience and a sincere faith, we really have to abide by God's teaching. As we mentioned in the book of Micah chapter 6 verse 8, the key verse of this book. Let us read this verse once again. All right? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And so may God continue to teach us and help us to really live in a way that He is pleased with. May God help us to go through this book of Micah, and may His word abide in our lives. All right? So, let us have a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that the Spirit in us will always warn us of any sin, any temptation that we may fall into. And if we did fall into sin, may the Spirit within us convict us and help us confess our sins. O Lord, we pray that you give us a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And help us always to act in accordance with Micah 6 verse 8, so that we all
can live a life pleasing and acceptable to you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.